So, text number 60.
Yasya shreyaskaram nasti yaya nivritam apnayat yasarayati mameva bhaktim tam eva sariyet.
These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to realization of loving devotion. Then whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. In other words, this verse discusses prayojana. The other verse, number 59, is the method of attaining the goal, which is avideya tattva, and this is prayojana. Bhakti is the final object of spiritual endeavor, and there is nothing better than this. Purport. The jiva soul has no better well-being than loving devotion. In this is realized the final beatitude of jivas. Beautiful phrase. In other words, the living entity will find his highest beauty. He will attain and reach and attain the topmost limit or the highest limit of beauty by awakening and developing a pure loving relationship with Krishna. The lotus feet of Krishna are attainable only by loving devotion. He who cultivates the preliminary devotional activities, anxiously keeping in view that realized state of devotion, can alone attain to the object of all endeavor. None else can have the same. There's a certain anxiousness. It's called utkanta, utkanta bhav. Utkanta means stretched neck, utkanta, extended neck, eagerness, very eagerly practicing, enthusiasm. Not like, the opposite of utkanta bhav is the neck goes down. When the neck is extended, you know, when the living person is like this, the dead person is, you know, crunched down. You know? When you're alive, you're up. When you're dead, you're down. Like you sleep, you're lying down. So this is utkanta, means great eagerness. One is enthralled and enchanted by the prospects, by the beatitude of the ultimate attainment of the soul. And holding that in his heart and mind, he cherishes that and works towards that with great enthusiasm and eagerness. He cultivates preliminary devotional activities, anxiously keeping in view that realized state of devotion. In other words, we must keep the goal in mind and work with great anxiousness and eagerness to attain it. Never lose sight of the goal and never forget the goal. Jiva Goswami explains that this sadhana bhakti is the way of loving devotion. Prema bhakti is the way that loving devotion may be attained. There is no other way. In the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, verse 55, explains this point. Devotional service is the only way to satisfy Krishna. What intelligent person would take any other processes of self-realization if he was actually serious about perfection in spiritual life? That's all he says on that verse. I wrote another translation for this verse you can read. Sadhana bhakti is the means to the goal of prema bhakti. Of all that is auspicious, there is absolutely nothing beyond prema bhakti. In other words, prema bhakti, attaining it, or pure love of God, aspiring for it, dreaming about it, thinking about it, hearing about it, reading about it, reflecting upon it, having any kind of contact with prema bhakti, creates the greatest auspiciousness in a person's life. She brings with her ecstatic joy, and she can give me to my devotee. This is Krishna speaking. Purport. There is no greater good for the jiva beyond prema bhakti. It is the objective of all devotional practices and the ultimate transcendental ecstasy of the soul. Only by prema bhakti can one attain the lotus feet of Krishna. One should cultivate sadhana bhakti with deep longing and earnestness for that objective, namely prema bhakti. One who performs his sadhana with such longing of earnestness, he will attain that treasure. Others will not. In other words, slow and steady wins the race. Sometimes people are like those, they want to get on the fast lane, like they have these rockets and on New Year's and hold it, what they call Diwali and stuff. You light the end, it goes, you know, makes a big light and it goes up really fast, and then, and go, poof, then it disappears. And everybody goes, wow. That's that, you know. You go, wow. And then it never hear another noise, never hear a sound, not a peep. You don't even see a spark or light for the rest of eternity. Some people, they come in the devotional line or in the bhakti, zoom, pop, and then they don't see a spark or hear a sound for eternity. It's better with like this, like these akanda deep. The akanda deep means, what do you call it? Akanda jyoti. Akanda jyoti means unbroken light, eternal light. Always, the light is always burning, just like on Govindaji's temple, on the roof of Govindaji's temple for somebody from 1590, from 1590 to 1670, was 80 years the ghee lamp was burning. They were burning something like, I think it was 100 kilos or 200 kilos of cow's ghee every day. 200 kilos a day, or on the top of the seventh story high, in the seventh story of the Govindaji temple, there was a ghee lamp burning, pure cow's ghee. I mean, that's what ghee lamp means, cow's ghee. From the time it opened in 1590 until 1670, 80 years. So that's the kind of devotional flame we want to have burning. Burning, the source of that burning is not passion and not some kind of coal and stinking gas, LP gas. The source of that burning is pure ghee, pure devotion. That's what's causing the fire, not the fire of passion. And it burns year after year after year. We want the flame of our devotion to be like the Akanda Jyoti of Radha Govindaji. But then, of course, someone came and put out the ghee lamp. But we hope that that doesn't happen to any of us. So, 61. Dharman anyan prityajya mamekam bhajavishwasan yadrishi yadrishi shraddha siddhir bhavati tadrishi kurvan nirantaram karma loko yam anavartate tineva karmana dhyayan para mam param bhakti michati. Again, we have this idea of param bhakti. Kamrana dhyanam param bhakti michati. This describes different varieties of religion, types of religion, Gona Dharma and Mukhya Dharma. Abandoning all meritorious performances, serve me with faith. In other words, abandon all types of materialistic religions and serve me with faith. This line of Krishna speaking here to Brahma is very much like a line that he spoke to Vivishwan. And very much like a line, the same line that he also spoke to Arjuna. It's in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman prityaja mamekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshesi mahasucham. So Krishna has always been speaking the same line. He doesn't, same old tune. Brahma was his first student, then later Vivishwan, later Arjuna, and later so many disciples and followers of Krishna and Arjuna. So he's saying the same thing here. Abandoning all meritorious performances, which means materialistic dharmas, serve me with faith. The realization will correspond to the nature of one's faith. The people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. By meditating on me by means of those deeds, one will obtain devotion characterized by love in the shape of the supreme service. In other words, one will attain perfection according to the nature of his faith. The people of the world are perpetually engaged in karma, and consequently they remain ceaselessly, and those are the people that stay in the world. He says the people of the world act ceaselessly in pursuance of some ideal. In other words, those that are perpetually engaged in karma will remain in a material world. But those who meditate upon me through the execution of their work, because that's called karma yoga, not just karma, they will eventually attain to karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, then pure bhakti. Purport. The function characterized by unalloyed devotion is the real function of all individual souls. In other words, pure bhakti is the original function of the pure soul. All other varieties of, the word function means religion. All other varieties of function or religion are activities of the external cases. In other words, all other varieties of religion are superficial activities of the original function of religion. These superficial religions, or these exoteric and esoteric dharmas or functions, are manifold. In other words, there's many of them. There's lots of them. For example, Brahman realization, non-differential knowledge of the Brahman aiming at extinction of individuality. The Ashtanga Yoga Dharma, in other words, Brahma Sahyujya Mukti Ashtanga Yoga, having as its goal attainment of the state of exclusive existence, Kaivalya, atheistic fruit of ritualism aiming at material enjoyment, that's demigod worshippers, Gyan Yoga Dharma, seeking to combine knowledge with fruit of activity in the practice of the function of barren asceticism. So this last paragraph about up to barren asceticism, I wrote like this. The cultivation of jnan or knowledge of Brahman aiming at nirvana, which means cessation of the embodied existence, and the eightfold or allied forms of yoga aiming at becoming one with the super soul, and pious worldly works by the way of karma kanda, aiming at mundane pleasures, and Gyan Yoga as a relative combination of karma and Gyan and barren renunciation. So that's what's described there. Now, purport. Getting rid of all these, serve me by pure devotion rooted in faith. Exclusive faith in me is trust. This is interesting. This is really the meaning of faith. Faith is trust. Love and trust. Faith in the form of trust by the process of gradual purification tends to become a constant engagement, nishta, an object of liking, ruchi, of attachment, asakti, and a real sentiment, bhava. The more transparent the faith, the greater the degree of realization. So I wrote that paragraph like this. The Lord is saying, because this is what the verse is saying, give up all these attempts and embrace the religion of bhakti, which has faith as its root or base, and serve me alone. Exclusive faith in me is called Vishwas, which means faith. In other words, you have complete faith in Krishna. That resolute faith, that type of resolute faith, gradually becomes more and more clear. And that faith, as that faith develops, it gradually transforms to Nishta, Ruchi, Bhava. Perfection is attained in proportion to the purity of one's faith. If you ask, how will the preservation and conduct of worldly affairs be feasible if one is continuously engaged in the endeavor for the realization of bhakti? What also will be the nature of the endeavor for the realization of bhakti when the body will perish consequent on the cessation of the function of the body and of society? In other words, you don't take care of the body and only do bhakti when you'll die. Then how will you do your bhakti? In order to strike at the root of this misgiving, the Supreme Lord says, this world subsists by the constant performance of certain activities. In other words, this is a place of karma, and it's going on because of karmic activities. But then the Lord says, fill all these karmic activities with meditation of me. In other words, perform all your work as a meditation of me. This will destroy the quality that makes those activities appear as acts done by you. In other words, by meditating on Krishna while doing one's work, one will destroy the exploitive nature of that activity. They will then be of the nature of my service, bhakti. Mankind live by threefold activities of body, mind, and society: eating, sitting, walking, resting, sleeping, cleansing the body, covering the body, or various bodily activities. In other words, body, mind, and society, right? Thinking, recollecting, retaining an impression, becoming aware of an entity, feeling pleasure and pain are mental feats. They're actions of the mind. Marrying, practicing a reciprocal relationship between the king and the subject, practicing brotherhood, attending at sacrificial meetings, offering oblations, digging wells, tanks, etc. for the benefit of the people, in other words, charity, maintaining one's relations, that means family, practicing hospitality, observing proper civic conduct, showing due respect to others are various social activities. So karma kanda means when you do all these three things for sense gratification. When these acts are performed for one's selfish enjoyment, they are called karma kanda. When the desire for freedom, attainment of freedom from activity by knowledge underlies these actions, they are termed jnana yoga or karma yoga. And when these activities are managed to be performed in this way that is conducive to our endeavor for attaining bhakti, they are called jnana bhakti yoga, etc. For example, the subsidiary, that is the subsidiary devotional practices. But only those activities that are characterized by the principle of pure worship are called bhakti proper. So this is, when he says subsidiary, that means gona bhakti. There's gona bhakti means secondary practices of devotion. And mukhya bhakti means primary practices. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam are mukhya bhakti. And digging wells and charity and all these kind of things, if they're done, if you dig a well in Vrindavan instead of Delhi, and if you give food to people, Brijbasis or inhabitants of Holy Dham or Yatris instead of just beggars in Delhi, then that's called Gona Bhakti or Gona religion. It's secondary religion because it will benefit you, bring you to the primary place. My meditation is practiced in every act when bhakti proper is practiced in due time while performing the subsidiary devotional activities in one's intercourse with the ungodly people of this world. In such a position, a jiva does not become apathetic to God even by performing those worldly activities. So I rewrote that one. The Lord is saying, Your every act will be a meditation on me. When you give due time to practicing direct devotion, which means Shravanam, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smaranam, chanting rounds, etc., Mukhya Bhakti. When you give spend some time practicing direct devotion, whilst otherwise rendering indirect devotion with the formalities demanded by the world. Despite acting in the world, performing karma, etc., the jiva does not become averse to the service of the Lord by turning outward to material acts. So you have a family and you work for IBM, so every day you go to work and you work at IBM and do your computer programming. But before you go, you chant your 16 rounds, you do your puja, you read the Bhagavatam with your family, and then you go into the world and you're friendly with people and you maintain relations with your mother and father and all this. But it's the basis and the center of all this, what we call mukhya dharma, or secondary practices of religion, secondary, is your mukhya dharma, or your mukti, which is your primary connection with the Lord through direct devotion. This constitutes a practice of looking inwards, that is, towards one's real self. The Ishtopanishad explains Ishavasyamidam sarvam yat kinchet jagatyam jagat tena taktyena bunjitaha madgridha kasya swidanam. The commentator says in this regard, tena ishatyaktena vishishtena. The real significance being that if whatever is accepted be received as favor vouchsafed by the Supreme Lord, then worldly activity will cease to be such and will turn into service of God in bhakti. Ishavasya says, Kurvan eveha karmani karman lipyate nare. That's another verse. If the worldly acts are performed in the above manner, one does not get entangled in karma, even in hundreds of years of worldly life. The meaning of these two mantras from the Upanishad, from the Gyan point of view, is renouncement of the fruits of one's worldly actions. But from the Bhakti point of view, they mean the attainment of Krishna's favor, prasad, by their transference to his account. In other words, you get Krishna's mercy by offering everything to him, because everything belongs to him. In this way, which is the path of archan or worship, you should do your duties of this world by the meditation of worshipping Godhead thereby. Brahma cherishes the desire for creation in his heart. Now, in other words, that's his work in this world. If that creative desire is practiced by conjoining the same with the meditation of obeying therein the command of the Supreme Lord, then it will be a subsidiary spiritual function, Guna Dharma, being helpful for the growth of the disposition for the service of the divinity by the reason of its characteristic of seeking the protection of Godhead. In other words, this is called dovetailing our service and the service of the Lord through the agency of the direct acceptance and blessing of the Lord, if the Lord is your guru in the case of Brahma, or if you have a guru, your guru will say, yes, yes, Mr. Satsarup, you should work in the social welfare department. You should continue to work in the social welfare department and give your paycheck to the Matchless Gifts Temple in Second Avenue to pay the rent for the temple. So this is called his Gona Dharma, his materialistic work. This is simply materialistic work in the social welfare department because it was sanctioned by Krishna's representative, which is the same as Krishna sanctioning Brahma's work of creating. So Krishna's representative, the guru, on Krishna's behalf, has sanctioned the work in the social welfare department. So therefore, when he's working there, he's thinking, I'm doing this for God. Just like Brahma's thinking, if Brahma didn't have this connection with Krishna, it would just be karma. It's Brahma karma. I'm the creator. I'm making this world. I did it. I had to do it. I wanted to do it. I did it. But because he's connected with God, he's thinking, no, I'm doing this for Krishna. This is my service. I'm delegated and appointed by Krishna to do this. So this is, then it becomes religion. Then it becomes dovetailing in Krishna's service. And it helps him practicing his direct devotion of hearing, chanting, remembering the Lord, and helps him to increase his devotion to the Lord in this world and in the eternal world. So I wrote that Whatever we accept as prasadam
or mercy of God, then these actions lose their quality of karma and they take on the quality of bhakti. If one acts in this way, even if he lives 100 years, he'll not be stained by karma. So now, so Brahma has the desire to create. If the desire is fulfilled along with meditation of following the order of the Lord, by the virtue of that action, possessing the symbol of service to the Lord, it will be an indirect religious function, Gona Bhakti, favorable to the nourishment of devotion. This is the reasonable way of the Lord's instructing Brahma, because Brahma is pretty much like everybody else in the material world. He's got something to do. He has some karma to work off. He's working off his karma, just like every man, woman, and child in this world.
So as above, so below. It was certainly proper to instruct Brahma in this manner. There is no occasion for such instruction in the case of a jiva in whom the spontaneous aversion for entities other than Krishna manifests itself on his attainment of the substantive entity of spiritual devotion. In other words, bhava. So when one comes to the platform of bhava bhakti, then there's no more gona bhakti for him. Everything is, he's seeing his beloved everywhere and seeing his, everything in his beloved. And then, so that's what's explained at the end of the purport. Jiva who attains bhava bhakti is naturally indifferent to all material activities and actions. And Krishna is everything for him. So these kind of instructions to Brahma don't apply to one who comes to platform bhava bhakti. So tomorrow, by the grace of the Lord, we shall meet again.